This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. I'll continue reading this week from Marcella Eklund Woidke's story of her mother's family. Her mother was Emily Erickson, the daughter of Arnie and Matilda Nelson. Last week, I was reading about the early days of Arnie and Matilda's marriage. They had built their first home together, and Arnie's son, Campbell, had come to live with them from North Dakota, where he had been staying with his aunt after his mother died. Arnie and Matilda had their first child together, Emily, and had made it through the first winter of 1901 and 1902. Marcella's story starts up again now. The winter came and went, and finally the sounds and sights of spring started to appear around the little tar paper shack. The river opened and supplied the family with fresh fish, mainly walleye and northern pike. The ducks and geese came back, and the cow had a calf, the result of a friendly visit to the neighbor's herd a few months previous. The spring thaw also brought a lot of water into the area where they had built their little shack, flooding the area and creating problems for the family. The land was a little higher, just a short distance to the south of where they were, and Arnie decided to move the house onto that ridge. However, Matilda was again pregnant and expecting the following December. Plus, she had Emily, who was not even 2 years old, to look after. So they decided moving the shack would have to wait until the next summer. The present family of four, plus another baby on the way, was overcrowding the little shack. So Arnie built a small lean-to onto the present house. It must have been a busy summer of building, gardening, and preparing for another winter. Also, Arnie was again planning to return to North Dakota for the harvest in August. On December 10, 1903, Matilda gave birth to a baby boy. He was named Arthur Oliver. Arthur was a very sickly baby and as a result spent most of his first year crying from colic and other problems. It was little Emily's job to keep him entertained so Matilda could get her work done. A swing was hung over the bed and Emily had to keep it moving so he wouldn't cry. Emily pushed and pushed, and Arthur cried and cried. Eventually, Emily too started to cry, and a duet ensued. Just to give you an idea what kind of work Matilda had to do for her family, I will detail some of her jobs. Number one was to see that there was an abundant supply of food to last the year. This, of course, was also Arnie's responsibility. Matilda washed her clothes in a tub with water drawn from the nearby river that she had to heat on a wood-burning stove. The drinking water was also drawn from the river, and this she had to boil to kill any present bacteria. In the early 1900s, the river and lake waters in Minnesota were relatively free from pollution, so that was an advantage for our pioneers. She made most of the clothing by hand, sewing by hand, knitting for the winter clothes, etc. When the family was hurt or sick, she had to improvise with whatever medication she had on hand and rely on her own good sense to decide what the ailment was. Again, another spring and the usual water problems around the present home. As soon as it was dry enough to move the house, Arnie proceeded to get the job done. He also dug a well by hand, which required digging a large square hole about 8 to 12 feet into the ground, or until they reached a depth where water seepage appeared. When the required depth was achieved, he then lined the hole with wood to prevent it from caving in. The wood liner was continued above ground to a height of about 4 feet. The only wood used for well liners was oak. Any other wood had the effect of producing a bad taste in the water. Arnie cut the oak trees and made them square so they would fit tightly together. The water would seep into this hold and be retained by the wood liner. To keep the water clean, a tight cover was made for the top of the well. Water was drawn from the well by the use of a rope tied to a pail and dipped from the well. Moving the house was another big job. However, the house was very small and it was literally only a shell of a building, so it wasn't very heavy. My mother was very young when it was moved, but she believes they put skids under it and used horses to pull it to its new location, which was only about 40 rods over. You may wonder how they were able to keep warm in a home such as I have described. I wondered too, so once again I relied on my mother's memory. She remembers that the walls of the house were banked by straw to keep the wind out. For the inside warmth, they relied on the wood stove, which probably meant keeping it going manually day and night. I suppose they were no worse off than the Indians who lived in tents all winter. They continued to live in the little shack for about 10 more years. In addition to Emily and Arthur, sons Robert, born in 1905, Alfred, born in 1908, and Melvin, born in 1909, were all born in the little tar paper shack. That's all for today from Marcella's Stories. If you've missed parts of it, you can find the entire story at the Rose Oconee Museum, where I found it. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our Coney stories.